Many are glad. Amen. Well, good morning and welcome to Living Springs Wesleyan. We're so glad to have everybody here, and we are so glad to be able to pray for those that couldn't be here this morning. Now, Harry, who we all know and love, who should be up here, apparently is singing over at Unity Hospital. He's in a bed.
He's in the ICU.
He's in the ICU. He fell and fractured his pelvis. So please keep him in prayer. We love him dearly, and we're going to chastise him for not telling us, but that's okay. But anyway, and Marcella fell, so please pray for her knee. And so there are some other activities going on outside these doors. Keep Dory in prayer. She's not in ICU, but she's still in so much pain that she really is very, very uncomfortable. So keep her in prayer. And Wendy, our prayer requests for her continue and will never abate. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning that our eyes are upon you, Lord Jesus. And yet our hearts are with those, Lord, that are having a difficult morning, Lord God, and we do pray for Harry, and we pray for Marcella, and we pray for Dory, and we pray for Wendy, and for any other needs that we may not know about, but God, you know them. And we pray, Lord, that your ointment of life and joy and healing would flow into the bodies of your saints. Father God, we pray the same for any that are here this morning, Lord Jesus, that they would sense the whisper of God into their ear that says, I have not forgotten you. I will touch you as I promised. Father, we thank you for your kindness to us. We thank you, Lord, for your extraordinary grace. And we pray now, Lord, that you would bless the service, Lord, not of our making, but of yours. May you script it through the Holy Spirit, Lord, what you want to say to your church. And Father, we commit it to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The only thing in the bulletin that I'm going to note is Kristen put in here a deal to pray for five people. Pray for five of your friends. I assume we all have five. We encourage you to choose five friends who are not yet followers of Christ and make a commitment to pray for them every day. How many know that God answers prayer? You know, when everybody says, well, I don't know if it's God's will, I do this or that. We know it's his will to pray for the lost. Abstinently, he's not willing that any should perish. So we thank God for that. Now, we're going to ask you to take this extension of your body and greet someone else today. So now, before we worship, I want to, even though we've greeted, want to make sure we welcome Lita into the house of God. How many are glad to see her? She'll shoot me later, but that's okay. I'm a Christian, ready to go. We are going to sing, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" Okay, please stand.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you are wonderful. What a wonder you are. And you have allowed us, Lord, to know you, whom to know aright is life eternal. Thank you so much that you have revealed yourself to flesh and blood, Lord God, to those who do not deserve it. And yet, Lord, in you, you lift us up to a place no devil can touch, because, Lord, we're in your hands. Father, we thank you. We honor you. And now I pray, Lord, is bring the message of communion. I pray, Lord, that your holy hush would be in our hearts and you'd stir our minds to understand what you would say to this church in this moment. And we thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I usually like to have a visual up on the PowerPoint. And Dave didn't have to worry about one this week. Not because he's going to be it, although that would be funny. But the visual's right in front of me here. It is the communion table. I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. 1 Corinthians. I will read it out of the Bible that's in the pews here. Starting with the 23rd verse. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, the Lord Jesus. On the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, the cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. The Apostle Paul here is giving directions and specific notations for the communion table. Much of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians are letters that were dealing with certain issues within the church. It's important to deal with issues. It's important to deal with them prayerfully, carefully, of course, and in God's grace. So, the title of the message is Come Union. Come Union. I was at a Christmas party at where I work, and this is quite a number of years ago now, and we all gather around the table at our office. And I'm just sitting there, just kind of eyeing the crowd, you know, seeing who's friendly and who's foe, that kind of thing. And I looked over at the end of the table, and one of the gals that I work with, well, I knew she was having a bad day, but usually food changes that for most people. You can be having a horrible day, and it's surprising what cake will do. So I looked over, and she had the darkest, meanest look, like I'm ready to murder you right now. I'm not kidding you. She looked like, if it went by the way she looked, I was dead and gone. And I knew I hadn't done anything to her, so I figured I was safe, but I just remember thinking, my, I mean, it isn't like we're having asparagus or something, it's a Christmas party. So, and I thought, you know, that really affects the way you eat, the way you communicate around the table. If somebody comes to the table in a bad spirit, how many have ever maybe been raised, you don't have to put your hands up, but in a home where you came to the table and you were just hoping you didn't get screamed at, you weren't quite sure what the mood of somebody was going to be. That's really hard to establish, you know, any kind of a stable mindset in life when you come to the table and you think it's a safe place and it becomes instead a place sometimes of discipline, sometimes of embarrassment, a number of other things. So when we sat there, I thought, I ain't looking her way, tell you that, because she just didn't change the entire meal. I'm not kidding, she was just horrible. But this text is in the city taken from Corinth, and there were divisions and trouble in that church. The word division here is the word schismatic, and it means to rent, to tear, as opposed to, for instance, if the surgeon ends up working on Marcella, and we're going to pray that's not necessary, but they take their tools, and what do? They take a wound and they open it, don't they? They have to open it, but it's a controlled setting so that it brings full healing. Now, what a division does, it tears the whole piece. Looks like a shark got to it. That's not what you want. You want God in his tools as the great physician to heal the wounds, not for anything else. But here, they had a big cleft. They had a big division. And so in this portion of Scripture in 1 Corinthians, we find a place in a church that took the communion table and they mixed it with what they called love feasts, kind of a common meal where it all became one. And guess what? They brought all the debauchery from the meal into the communion table. And that's what he's referring to here. This is God's table. This is not Living Springs' table. This is God's table, his sacrifice. And we have to all be very careful whenever we approach it, that we do not bring our attitudes or our bad ones in particular or hurts or anything like that that can affect what God wants to do at the table. How many believe that Jesus Christ is alive? How many believe that he knows? And I just pray that when I look at him, he doesn't think, why is she mad at me? I don't want him to ever think that. And so in this portion, what we have some major problems. Now, I'm going to go to the 20th verse just to give a little bit of background here. He's giving them direction, and he says, therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. In other words, your intention, although you say you're coming to have the Lord's Supper, what you're really doing is coming to feed your own face. Because what's happening in this portion and this time frame is that there's drunkenness, there's all kinds of attitude and behavior that's happening, and there's gluttony, and they're really tearing at the food. I think it probably looks worse than Filene's basement when they have the bridal sales, if you've ever seen those. I'm surprised people don't get killed at some of that. But he says, for in your eating, each one takes his own supper first. One is hungry and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God? It's important how we approach the table of God. It's important how we approach the Word of God, for that matter, and our Christian living. So what Paul is saying here as he gets to the 23rd verse, he says, I received from the Lord what also I delivered to you. Do you know something? You cannot give something you don't have. You cannot give something you don't have. We have to be filled first. We have to be touched by the Spirit of God. When the Sunday school teachers prepare, should they not have already been touched by the Master themselves? So they're giving out of fullness. They're not giving out of emptiness. That's important, because when we give out of emptiness, all we give is ourselves, and usually the empty parts. We want to give out of fullness. And Paul said, actually, in the first verse, he was telling them to be an imitator of me as I follow Christ. That word means to mimic. Now, there's also another portion of that verse you can keep in mind. Do not imitate somebody who's not following Christ. I don't care if they are a Christian. If they have bad attitude, do not follow that attitude. Always follow Christ. But in this church at this time, they weren't doing that. They were responding to their own desires and their own wishes, and that was taking over the solemnness of this table. So he says, for what I received of the Lord, that's what I've delivered unto you. And this word, as he talks about here, he's talking about the traditions of the church. The word tradition is the word paradisis, and it means to hand down from one person to another, to hand it down. How many have ever been at a table where somebody said, can you pass the bread, and they throw the whole piece of bread? You ever been at a table like that? You have to catch well or you don't eat. Hand it, personally hand it. The traditions, the things of the scripture, they should pass from me to Darlene, from Darlene to Mrs. Dunbar, by our hands, by our lives. We shouldn't toss them like a grenade. There should be a relationship. And that's what he's talking about here. And so he talks about it as he goes, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave thanks first. This word thanks is the word Eucharist. It's where they get the word in the liturgical churches for communion. Now, at Christmas, we probably wait to get the gift and open it, make sure it's what we want before we say thank you, right? I mean, you kind of give a half thanks. And then when you really see it, you go, oh, boy, I really like this. Jesus sets a great example here. He says, be thankful ahead of time, because everything that comes from God's hand is good, isn't it? We should always have a heart of thanksgiving, not just in November, but every day of our life. So he says, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup, and he did the same thing. And then 26th verse, he said, as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. See, the first table of the Lord was the cross. It was a wooden table, really, which served our master to us through his blood and through his sacrifice. And then there's going to be a leaf to a greater table until he comes again. You know, the Lord extended that table to remind us what? That Jesus is coming again. And we're supposed to proclaim, and this word is the same word for angel or messenger, preacher, to proclaim his death until he comes. We're supposed to continue to proclaim it. The early church, they had communion every time they met. If it was every day, they had it every day. They believed it that strongly. And so here, we're supposed to proclaim it until he comes. How many know he's coming again? Okay. Yep, he didn't send us an invitation. He gave us one right here. So proclaim it proudly and gratefully. So the experience of life here is that we have a church that's in difficulty and division and self-orientation, and they need to be rerouted to approach the table of the Lord in a holy way. The second one is the examination. This is the hard part. 27th verse. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So let a man examine himself and eat of the bread and drink of the cup. The word examine here means to prove it. It's a test. It's a test like that of a medal to see if it is the genuine article or not. How do you test silver? How do you test gold? Through fire. How many have felt under fire? I can tell you this church is under fire. You know that. But the Lord walked through the fire, didn't he? It will make us pure for him. Examine yourself. Don't be examining other people. You let the Holy Spirit deal with other people. We deal with ourselves. That's what it's talking about here. And then we eat and we can drink it. It says, otherwise you may eat or drink unworthily. Now keep in mind, there's none of us that are worthy to take the table, okay? That's not what it's saying here. We're only worthy through the blood of Christ. But what it is saying is that if we bring all of our junk with it and our attitudes, then we are making this table defiled. And it's not clean as it ought to be. It's a very holy place. And Paul is telling people that. It's worthy of our full respect and honor. So it talks about being judged by the Lord. He says in the 31st verse, if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord. How many like discipline? Well, if you do, God bless you. But I don't think most people do. But notice in the word discipline is the word disciple. And it means a disciplined learner after the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what the word means. And the word here where it's talking about being discipled and being disciplined has the word child inside the original word. You know, there's times we just act like children. And maybe a nice, graceful, merciful swat doesn't hurt. But how many are glad that when the Holy Spirit touches us, it's for our betterment? He does not wound us. He brings healing and victory. So the Bible says, examine yourself. Now, when you examine yourself, don't pick apart everything you've ever done. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about as you examine and go deep, Holy Spirit, show me what I need to repent of. Show me where I need to forgive. Show me. Let the Lord show you. Because there are effects if we do not. Back in the 30th verse. This reason many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. There's a lot of reasons that sickness comes. Sometimes it is our own foolishness, the way we live our life. Sometimes it's that family we're with, the heredity. Sometimes it's honestly a demonic attack. And sometimes it can be mistreating the things of God. And there's a brokenness in the relationship. And when that happens, the body gets broken. And that needs to be taken care of. The Lord doesn't work on the surface. He always works in the deep. Remember that? He went over the deep of the waters. He goes into the deepness of our life. So he says here, some of you are weak. And this literally means to have a weak body. Now, don't be under condemnation if you have physical distress this morning. It's not what I'm trying to say. Just saying it can be from not responding correctly to the word of God. He says some are weak, some are infirm, meaning have a physical dilemma, and some sleep. And that's not talking about people that rest in the Lord during the sermon. This is talking about people that die. Some death in the Bible, and I'm sure in other places, are because of that broken relationship. And further, more than likely, an arrogance to not let God deal with it. The Lord always gives us opportunity. Do you remember he allowed Pharaoh to respond? He never judges unless we refuse his Holy Spirit. And then it comes into the body because it's already in the spirit. And if it's in the spirit and it's in the mind, it's in the emotion, it's going to come right outside. It's going to come into your physical being. The Lord doesn't want us to be hurt. He doesn't want us to be broken. Matter of fact, his body was never broken, remember? The Bible said his bones were not broken. They broke the bread to show the brokenness of man to God, but it was not God that was broken. Only his heart was broken in Gethsemane. So there's a correlation on occasion between our relationship and brokenness to God and what's happening in our physical body. And it is something to think about and to pray about. I was reading about a minister who was in love with this young lady. He wasn't ready to commit yet, and I don't know if he was waiting for 100 years or just 90, but anyway, apparently he was on the long train, and she was just sick of waiting. And so she came up with a pseudo-suitor to make him jealous, to get him thinking, to make him make a decision. She wanted to get a reaction out of this minister. And boy, did she get a reaction. He got mad. And then he even resisted more because he did not want to be manipulated. So this lady ends up marrying the gentleman who knows her uncle, who is the magistrate in the local jurisdiction. And she's so mad at this preacher because he wouldn't marry her, he wouldn't commit to her. So they came to church one Sunday, I assume it was a Sunday, and it was Communion Sunday. But he wouldn't give them communion. My guess, because it's a personal situation. Well, she didn't take kindly to that either. So she sued him. I mean, if you're going to be sued for something, at least be sued for something that you really did wrong. But in that case, she felt he dishonored the house of God and her. So she took him to court. And his name was blasted all over the place. And he won. He wasn't convicted, but his integrity and his position was wounded. And so he ended up leaving where he was and went back to England. And that was John Wesley. And then something happened. The Spirit of God got a hold of him. And he met the bridegroom. Of course, unfortunately, the wife that he did marry, they didn't have a very good relationship. He would be preaching and she'd be telling people not to listen to him. You imagine that? So I guess they were married about 15 years. So it's safe to say, while he was very graced in his preaching, he had some difficulty when he got home in his private life. But he and she brought their emotion and their tattered relationship right into the communion table. And it destroyed his testimony at that time. And knowing the Lord, God can work everything out for good. So that probably was something that really bothered him, and God worked on it to say, hey, listen, you come to my table, you come as a Christian, as a follower of mine, and put me in charge. And he did that, and we know a good portion of what came out of that. We need to come to the table of the Lord with a whole heart and with a healed heart. And if there are divisions and tears, we need the great physician to bind up the wounds. And when he does that, sometimes that hurts too. But it hurts with an expectation of healing. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a moment. The Bible says to examine ourselves and then eat the bread and drink of the cup. And let's just take a few minutes here. And if there's something in your heart, and I'm not talking about anyone else around you, but you, in your heart, that needs to be mended before the presence of God, and you say to the Lord, I want to come clean. I want to come holy. Not because I'm holy, but because Jesus is holy. I don't want to bring all my junk into the holy table of God. I don't want to look at the face of Jesus and see him hurt, because I can't really fully enter into the fellowship that he has promised me, because I'm holding on to something. You can't hold on to something and let him take your hand. You have to have an open hand. So let's just take a few minutes and individually ask the Lord to examine us. The Bible said, and Jesus gave thanks. He gave thanks. He was going to be the sacrifice, and he was the one with a thankful heart before we celebrate communion. I'm going to ask two people. One, to thank God for the bread, the body of the Lord, and the second person, to thank God for the shed blood, for the remission of our sins. So I'm going to ask Darlene if you would thank the Lord for the body of Christ. Now I'm going to ask the servers to come up and ask the Lord to bless the hands that serve. We'll take the bread first, and then we'll take... I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing the last couple songs. But if you need any of that grace today, the altar is open for you to come so we can pray for you. But let's sing this.
Grace that is pardon and cleanse with
the table of the Lord, let his face shine upon you. I'm going to ask Patrick to close in prayer.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love today. We thank you, Lord, that you're a great God and we can come to you. And Lord, we just want to pray for those today that have just decided maybe they don't want to know you, that, Lord, they just want to go their own way and have things their own way. And Lord, just help us each this week, Lord, just to go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to show others the way that we have a great God and we can lean on him, and we don't have to lean on man's understanding, but we'll lean on God's. Yeah. So go with us this week, Lord, and just we ask your blessing on us. And Lord, we just want to pray for you and pray for us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.